If you are looking for premium, sustainable, and thoughtful body care, I have got the company for you. They are my favorite that I have ever used. I am not being hyperbolic, and I have been in health media for 25 years. I have tried everything. One Earth Body Care has fantastic conditioner bars, shampoo bars for your hair. They have a beard bar wash. That's hard to say, and a beard bar conditioner for your face and body. You can choose from day and night facial oil, which I love. They have a sleep balm. With this time of year, the bugs are coming. Itch Be Gone is my savior because I react to bug bites. They've got a skin fix for dry skin. And the best thing of all is they're, for me, is their natural deodorant because I tend to be smelly, but no more. They have subscriptions, so you can create a subscription. The prices are unbelievably reasonable. This company, Anne and Ed Alter, are fantastic people who care about the environment, care about the ingredients they use, and they care about you. So check them out now at oneearthbodycare.com. They also have a spray to keep the bugs away. Everything's natural. Everything is fabulous. Check them out. oneearthbodycare.com. Hi, Lisa Davis. So glad you're listening to Health Power. I just went through a fantastic cookbook. I absolutely love it. It is Julie's Eats and Treats Cookbook, Easy Family-Friendly Recipes from a Midwestern Mom. It is by Julie Eving, creator of the popular food blog, Julie's Eats and Treats, which reaches millions each month. She's known for her no-fuss recipes that use pantry staples yet are bursting with flavor. This cookbook contains her favorite recipes that are easy, family-friendly hits. It's really great. I made some of the recipes, and Julie, I'm so glad to have you.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Now, Julie, I really loved how you wrote about your sweatpants friends. And for those of us who haven't read your awesome cookbook yet, but I hope they will get it, tell us about what it means to be a sweatpants friend.
I just think there's so much pressure in the world right now to like live the perfect life and have the beautiful home and everything's perfect and put away. And my saying is always like, you can come over and I expect you to wear sweatpants and we're sweatpant friends. And like, my house is going to be a mess because this is real life. Yes. And if you can't be that friend, then I'm sorry. We just can't be friends.
Well, you know, it's funny because the other day, my daughter said, Mom, don't you have any, she's 19, Mom, don't you have any jeans? Like, you're always wearing these baggy sweatpants. Just throw on some jeans. And she was like, oh my God, look at you. So I'm actually wearing jeans, but they're stretchy. So
it's yeah, not right. Like, it's a beautiful invention.
Yes, I don't like things that are binding. So I want to talk about your growing up. You grew up in on a farm in Minnesota. And tell us how that shaped your view on family and cooking and togetherness and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I grew up on a farm and I actually live in the same town that I grew up in. Nice. We have 8 acres here where we live, but my parents just live a few miles away on the farm still. And
nice.
Looking back, you appreciate things so much more, right? Like when you're a child, you just don't get it. But like looking back, my dad farmed and he was in and out of the house all the time, which was great. But like he worked really long hours. And at 6 o'clock every night, my mom showed up every night and she would have a family dinner on the table and dad would quit farming and we would all gather on the table. And that was just like that important family time and the conversations that went on. And I mean, obviously it wasn't perfect. I had 2 brothers. We were grabbing for food and fighting and everything else. But like looking at that and like the conversation that went on, I mean, dad was talking about farming and what was going on. And I truly believe that's like where I got the ability to like build a business because I watched him build his business. And it was just like that. You just soaked up that information because it was just everyday conversation. It wasn't like, I'm going to teach you something. It was just there.
Yeah.
And so it's funny because there's 3 of us. I have 2 brothers, 1 older and 1 younger, and we all have owned businesses.
Oh, nice.
And so we're all entrepreneurs and we've been there and we've done that. And just that, like, I think that's so important nowadays too. Like, we're all so busy and just taking that time to like sit down and have a meal. And obviously it's not going to be every night, but if I can help you like get a recipe on the table and it not be another stressor in your life, like that is my goal, is to like have that family time and for it not to be a stress, like not to be just one more thing on your plate. So.
Yes. And that, I think that is so important. I feel like so many people don't make that time, or you're at the table with your family and everybody's on their phones. And I'm not judging or saying anything because we're not perfect. I mean, we do family dinner. We have to say to my daughter, all right, you know, text this person later or get back. Luckily, she's not super into social media, thank goodness. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes I'm on my phone because I remember, oh, after we schedule this person, because I'm a one woman operation for Health Power. I handle everything. And my husband will be like, hun, stop working. I'm like, okay, you know, so, or he'll be playing Wordle. Hun, stop wordling, you know. So
right. And I mean, I do it and I like put my phone down and then my kids are like, well, what's the lunch menu for tomorrow? Or what's the weather? And it's like, I put my phone down. I don't know right now. And they're like, pick it up. And I'm like, oh, it's just, it's so ingrained in us.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, just giving them that time. And my kids are luckily sixth grade and under. They don't have phones yet. But like myself, I'm like, I pick it up. Like there's downtime. You just automatically pick it up. So just like making yourself aware of that and
exactly
trying to teach them how to use it. So
yeah, it's so important. You know, what I love about the book is not only do you have great recipes, but you give us some great advice about meal planning and getting your kids in the kitchen, your favorite kitchen tools. And I don't want to give away everything. I want people to get the book, but I want to share a little bit. I really want to meal plan. And yet somehow I don't. It was really good to be reminded. It saves time. It saves stress. It saves money. It avoids the rut. What advice do you have for people who are like me, who are like, I really want to do it. And then somehow I seem to be shopping a lot for each meal, which is time consuming and a pain in the rump.
It is. It truly is. So meal planning, like once you embrace it, you're like, how did I ever not do that? Because it essentially saves you so much time each day. And once again, it takes like, yes, you have to like meal plan and think about it like on a Sunday or whatever. If you don't want to do it, right? Like it's the weekend. You don't want to like sit down and do like that type of thing. But once you get into that habit, and like I always say, just like pick out 5 recipes and know that you have, like I planned each day, but knowing that even if you have those 5 recipes, you have the ingredients in your house, you come home or you get off of work and you can walk in and you have options or you have that meal and you're like, okay, you don't have to think about it. You don't have to stop at the store. You just walk in your house and you make that dinner. It's just so much less stress. It makes that Sunday planning so much more worth it because otherwise you're like, takeout, fast food. Like, what am I going to throw in the air fryer or whatever? It's like we all do it.
With the air and fryer. It's, yeah,
right. But it just makes it so much less stressful to get that meal on it and have that family time. So you know what I mean? And yes. I truly think like making that meal too, like my kids just like gravitate into the kitchen and it becomes like an extended dinner time because they're in and out. They're doing their homework. You're sitting, like you're making the food. They're sitting there doing that stuff. And it's once again, just another bonding and they'll come over. Like I talk about getting kids in the kitchen and my mom was so great about it and we could go in the kitchen and there was never judgment. We could do whatever we wanted and she was there to help us and that's my kids great. Drift in and out at such a young age and like their attention span is so short at a young age but like we had safe knives they could use and they felt important because they could chop some vegetables or different things like that like a stool so it was safe for them to help us and it could literally be 2 minutes of mixing something, but just like building on that through their life. And like, I'll go into school now and like help them do like, cause cooking, you learn so much from fractions to reading. It's such a like comprehension thing. So they use it in school and I go in there and help them. And to see the kids that don't know how to cook, you know what I mean? Like they're getting to the point where it should be like skills they probably have picked up and they just don't know how. And I just think like it's lifelong skills and it's all the learning that comes with it.
Yeah, it is really important to do that. Now, I want to talk about some of your favorite kitchen tools. You mentioned the kids saved knives a minute ago. Mm-hmm. I hear a lot about the cast iron Dutch oven. You got a standard mixer. You mentioned the stools, a nonstick skillet. I like that you have apron and kids' aprons. My daughter and I are both messy eaters. We literally, if we're wearing like something nice that we don't want to stain, we'll wear an apron. Not only when
we're eating, right?
When we're
adult
eating.
Yeah. I always, like, got the kids fun aprons for, like, Christmas or something. Like,
yeah.
I paired them with, like, those kids-safe knives because they feel empowered. They think it's fun. And, like, it's like working out, right? Like, it's more fun if you have a cute outfit to do it in. So,
definitely.
That's just, like, my little tricks. And they feel important and cool. And, yeah, the apron has saved me many a clothes because grease splatters and you spill. Yes. And, yeah.
Absolutely. Now, on the grocery list, my mom told me the same thing. It's really important to have a grocery list. And what I do is I just voice type mine into my notes app, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
And you can even type things into your notes app. My daughter taught me that have little circles that you can check off, which I haven't been doing when I go to the store, but I've used it for like if I'm going on a trip and I have to pack stuff. But I just realized I should be doing that too, because a lot of times I'm like, wait, did I grab that? Or try to like lump them in the produce area, I need this. In the meat area, I need this. In the middle of the store, whatever. Because otherwise, I end up kind of just going like all over the place. And I'm sure I could shop faster if I was more organized.
Not only can you shop faster, but there's not as many things you put in your cart if you're not walking back and forth across the store, because I know how that is.
I know, because I swear I was in for 5 things and I got 20 things. I was like, oh boy, that happened.
Yeah, so we actually use an app on our phone, but it's connected through like we use an Alexa. And my kids can say, Alexa, put such and such on the grocery list. And that's it appears, cool. And I've trained them, if it's not on the grocery list, we don't buy it. So, and I've trained my husband like that too. So,
See, that's smart. Yeah. When I was a kid, if my dad took us shopping and we'd be like, Dad, can we have this? He's like, it's not on the list. We'd be like,
Yeah, but it sections everything off into the sections like the produce and the grains and pastas and the dairy and different things like that. So it makes it really handy. So that's what we do since my kids are in the kitchen or they want snacks and they don't have devices or whatever. So instead of me always managing the list, they can just put it on themselves.
Yeah, that's great. Good. Jumping into your favorite pantry staples. This made me laugh because, to be honest, I never even knew. I didn't know this existed. Canned chicken. And you write, I never thought I'd write this, but I've embraced it. Now, am I living under a rock? I had no idea there was such thing as canned chicken.
Right. This is a COVID baby. Like, you know, when you come get groceries or you're worried about going to the grocery store, canned chicken. It's essentially like tuna. It's packed in water and it's shredded. And I was like, I am the pickiest chicken person ever. Like, I will buy the expensive chicken breasts. I will not buy like the frozen, like icky ones or whatever. So I'm a little bit high maintenance, so I never thought I'd like be like, oh yeah, canned chicken, right? So, but it's great for like when I make a soup or something. So I live in a town of 5,000 people. We don't have access to like Costco rotisserie chickens and different things like that. Okay. So for me, I can grab this canned chicken and I can dump a couple cans in there and it makes the most gorgeous soups because it's shredded, it's cooked, it's everything else, and it saves so much time.
What's the texture like? Because that's where I'm
it's
really
just like shredded chicken. Like, yeah, it's really a texture thing, but like when it's mixed in soup, you don't like, I don't think I'd ever like sit down and eat it per se. Like, but like when it's mixed into like a casserole or soup or like different things like that, you can't tell at all.
Yes. The other thing was interesting, I thought, was frozen chopped onions. Now, I saw some chopped onions in the store recently, and I ended up not, I bought it because I had a recipe and I was in a rush. And I think I put them in my freezer, but I keep forgetting about them and I keep just buying new onions and chopping them. What is it about the frozen chopped onions that you like?
I cry when I chopped onions. I am the biggest crier. And I'm always like, this is horrible. I don't even want to use onions.
Right.
So I just, they're pre-chopped and they come in the freezer aisle just with all the other frozen vegetables. And there's even like green peppers and stuff. So I just throw them in my freezer and I just measure them in and I throw them in everything frozen. I don't thaw them or anything. So it's just, it's so handy. I will say, like, there's probably a little bit more flavor if you chop them fresh. But for me, like, I don't want to cry every night. So frozen onions it is.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. You also have in your favorite pantry staples, vanilla extract, which I love, fresh spices and baking, leavenders. Is that how you say that word?
Leaveners, yeah.
Yeah. You've got evaporated milk. Now, I'm guessing that's for desserts.
So that's another soup trick. Instead of like, I don't have like heavy cream in my fridge. And when you make like a creamy soup, you need heavy cream. Well, evaporated milk works just as good. And I can start in my pantry.
Oh, that's so easy. Okay. See, I don't eat dairy. And so when I went through all your recipes, I found the ones that I could substitute and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think from being a child, my mom never baked anything, but my mom, my best friend's mom did. And they always had evaporated milk around for that. Like so many of us, I come from a dysfunctional family, which left some definite traumas in its wake. And all of us have different levels of trauma. Whatever your challenge is, Dr. John Trentalage is the man for you. Dr. John is a clinician specializing in assisting individuals heal from emotional trauma, anxiety, depression, relationship issues, and attachment issues. He draws on his close to 30 years of experience to offer techniques that he and his clients have used to diminish anxiety, work through depression, build stronger connections with self and others. I started in therapy, I believe, in my 20s, and I have seen numerous therapists over the years. Now in my 50s, and Dr. John is the best. He is now working with my daughter. And after two sessions, she said, "Mom, I've gotten more of Dr. John than any of the other therapists." And she has generalized anxiety disorder. And she's already having tools, getting tools on the first session. So please check out Dr. John. He is also the author of Making Movies in Our Minds. It's a book about helping you with your anxiety. And you can reach the fantastic Dr. John at 719-310-9495 or email him at trentalange@netzero.com. That's trentalange@netzero.com. But speaking of your recipes, let's jump in. So I made your berry baked oatmeal with the oats. I used the oat milk instead of regular milk.
Mm-hmm.
And it came out really well. And I used the avocado oil instead of the butter. You also offer coconut oil, but I like avocado oil because it doesn't have any flavor. If you buy like the really fine kind, that was really good. And I love that it had eggs as well. Tell us a little bit about this recipe.
It was one that like, it's easy to meal prep once again. And like my kids will eat it in the morning or something and it fills them up. It's a little bit sweet. You know what I mean? Like it's not so... And it's easier than making fresh oatmeal, which isn't hard, but it's easier to be like, hey, here. And it was something they liked. It had the berries in it. So it was another one. And it fills them up. Like, it gets them through the morning.
Now, the other ones that jumped, I mean, they all jumped out. But everybody listens knows I'm a big Mexican food fan. So anything with tacos or taco seasoning or enchiladas or anything. So the breakfast enchiladas look amazing. And then I'm a hash brown fanatic. The hash brown breakfast casserole looks amazing as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want to bring up some, because again, I have the book here, the PDF. And I mean, they all look good. The fluffy pancakes, the French toast. The breakfast crescent ring, that looked really cool. And by the way, your book is beautiful. These photos are outstanding.
Thank you.
Yes. Is there any
I'm a visual eater, so.
Is there any breakfast item, Julie, that you wanted to bring up?
No, those breakfast enchiladas, I love. It's like a casserole, but it's like, it's not your like typical breakfast casserole. And it's the one that's always a hit. People always ask for the recipe because it's just a little bit different, but it's so easy to make and it's so delicious.
That looks really good. All right, moving on to muffins and breads. When I was in college, there was a little restaurant on campus that was really popular, and the food there was incredible. And they made this pumpkin bread that blew me away. And I haven't had pumpkin bread since, which is crazy because I was in college a very long time ago. My husband and daughter make a beer bread. And I love that you have a beer bread. And then, of course, you have wonderful banana chocolate chip muffins. So I'm going to make your pumpkin bread. But tell us about that. I also love anything pumpkin. All year
round. Yeah. Why do we keep it to fall?
I know.
That pumpkin bread has literally, like, I grew up on it. I think it was maybe my grandma's recipe or something. But, it's so easy to make. And it's always a favorite of my kids. And what better treat is there after school or something than a fresh slice of pumpkin bread with butter.
Oh my gosh, that sounds amazing. Now going on to salads and sides. Now I love sweet potatoes. You have roasted sweet potatoes. Mm-hmm. You have oven roasted vegetables. Again, I chose the ones that I'm like, oh, those are dairy free or they're because I don't need a lot of grains only because they make me feel tired. Otherwise I'd be like giving me them all, but I'm going to make your pumpkin bread. And if I'm tired, so be it. And then bacon wrapped green beans. So these were all good, but what are some of the sides that are more decadent and more, you know, exciting. Not that these aren't exciting, but you know
what right. I mean. So I really tried to give us a wide range. So like if you're like, you're dairy free or whatever, you had some options, but then yes. like we have our cheesy garlic butter pasta.
Oh, amazing. My,
I don't know, like you probably didn't grow in this, but there's like the Lipton like pasta packets, and my mom used to make them all the time. Well, oh my gosh, who knows
those?
Yeah, who knows what are in those, right? And yes. so this was my twist. It like requires like 5 ingredients that are super easy to have in your house, and it tastes amazing, and it's better than those like packets you could keep on hand, but yet all things you have in your house. And my kids love it. Like it's always like an easy one. Like if you have kids over or something, and you know they'll eat it. So,
oh yeah,
that's great. Like there's like the Spanish rice and different things like that. Like, and it's just simple. It's kind of a Midwestern twist on it, and it's great to like. I have enchiladas like in my cookbook, like for the main dishes. Yes. I tried to pick things you could easily like. There was a variety, but you could easily pair them with a lot of the main dishes. So right. you can go through and pick an entire meal that's still not going to take you very long to make.
Yeah, that is really convenient. Now with soups and stews, you got that chicken and rice, so we can use that canned chicken. I'm going to look for that. You've got a chili, you've got a slow cooker white chicken chili. Oh, I love stew. I got to make your slow cooker beef stew. Oh my God, I'm such a fan. And yours looks amazing.
Thanks.
That looks so good. Now, in your dinners, it's great that you divided into chicken, beef, pork, and seafood. And there was so many. The ones that jumped out to me were the sheet pan chicken fajitas. And then this I would have to eat things I don't usually eat, but I would. The chicken tetrazzini. I don't think I've had tetrazzini since I was a kid. My mom was a terrible cook. And she passed, unfortunately, but she would admit to that because she didn't like spices. So she'd make a big pot of chili.
Oh, mm-hmm.
of chili powder. I mean, thank God for Rosarita's hot sauce in the 70s because we would just load it on. But somewhere in my life, Julie, I don't know where, but I know I had a chicken tetrazzini. For people who aren't familiar, what is a tetrazzini exactly?
It's just like a super creamy pasta dish. And it's made, I made mine in like a casserole dish and mm-hmm. it's chicken. But one easy thing to do with it is if it's after a holiday, you can put ham or turkey in it. You can use up your leftover meat. So I do that a lot.
Idea.
And it makes a lot. So you can even do it in like a 9x9 square mm-hmm. dish, two of them, and you can freeze one so you have a meal on hand. So that's what I like to do.
Sounds great. Now under beef, I love how you talked about not using that Lipton because there's so much stuff and thing. I don't like to get mm-hmm. things that have like 5,000 ingredients. So talk to us about your homemade hamburger helper.
Yes. So once again, it's a box that I grew up on, right? And I was like, okay, I don't know what's in the packet of like cheese seasoning or whatever. And I totally like, I get it. Convenience is so nice and it's easy to have it in the pantry. But this, once again, I mean, you have pasta in your pantry. You have like ground beef. I live on a farm. We have meat in the freezer. So you just grab the things that are essentially pantry staples and you create this homemade, and it's so much better. And you make it in your Dutch oven and it's like one pot. It's easy.
Oh, wow.
And it's delicious. Yeah.
You know, I've never had hamburger helper. My mom was a full-on health nut in the 70s when I was a kid. So I've seen it. I was jealous of kids. God, I kept wishing someone would invite me for dinner and have hamburger helper. I don't even know. What is the seasoning flavors? Like what seasonings do you use in that?
So, I mean, it's like garlic powder and there's like a tomato base kind of in there and there's cheeses and different things like that. So it's kind of just like a creamy tomato base that has cheese in it. Yeah. With hamburger.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now for pork, you've got pizza sliders, stuffed zucchini boats. And again, you have at least, 10 per chicken, beef, pork, and seafood. Mm-hmm. I just chose a few. I like the zucchini boat idea. Tell us about this one.
So I have a garden and I have a ton of zucchini and I'm like, how am I going to use this all? Like there's only so much zucchini ready to make and so much you should probably eat, right? So I was like, let's turn it into a dinner. And that's what I came up with. I have a hamburger zucchini skillet and that's super easy to make. And it's so popular every summer, but it's just like, and it's things my kids will eat and it's healthier. You know what I mean? And so I really tried to give you like some like really decadent like main dishes, but then I also tried to give you like the zucchini when you want it lighter or the sheet pan fajitas or different things like that. And just kind of give you like some days we want a little lighter, some days we want a little heavier. So I kind of tried to give so many flavor options and different, like, healthy and not healthy so much.
Right. No, I appreciate that because, and I've mentioned this on the show before, because my mom was so restrictive, I went to my best friend's house and ate as much junk food as possible. Any allowance I got, I spent on candy bars. So, you know, there's got, if you're too restrictive, you're going to crave things even more. So I think it's good. I think it's really important to have that balance. And then also to get the better things. Your homemade hamburger helper doesn't have dioxide 23.5, or I'm making it up. You know what I mean? Like when the list at the end is like, what the heck is all that crap? Right. I don't want that. Mm-hmm. You know, these are all real foods that you're using.
And
right. So that's what makes a difference. Now on the seafood, I love shrimp. So the shrimp pasta and the shrimp boil. You also, I think, had some tilapia as well. Was there a tilapia in there?
Yes.
All right.
And I think fish is kind of scary. You know what I mean? Like for a beginner cook or somebody that's busy or whatever, like it can be a little bit overwhelming. Right. This is delicious. You take frozen tilapia. There's literally 5 ingredients on the topping. My kids love it.
Oh, and that's great. I think
it's done in less than 30 minutes. So if you're looking to like start introducing some fish into your diet, like this is the perfect easy recipe to do it with.
Yeah, that's such a great idea. All right, jumping into desserts. Oh my God, and these all look amazing. I was a kid.
Okay, these are all decadent, so healthy.
Yeah, let's just be honest, okay? But let's, you know, yeah, we got to have some fun. All right, so the best Rice Krispie treats. So when I was a kid, I loved Rice Krispie treats. And for some reason, my health nut mom would let us make them very rarely. But still, it was like a miracle. What makes yours so good?
I mean, there's extra butter, right?
Oh, of course.
So like I remember like the typical Rice Krispie treats, right? They're a little thin and they were good and stuff. But these the thicker, they have, you mix marshmallows in at the end, they're not melted and they make these like gooey pockets of marshmallows. They're so good. Like I once again live in a small town, I go uptown and somebody's like, I will never make another Rice Krispie bar other than yours. They're so delicious. And I'm like, I know, right?
Now, of course, it's no surprise I gravitated towards the pumpkin bars. Tell us about these.
So once again, it's a family recipe. It's been passed down for years and years and years. Nice. But I did my own little twist on it. It was like a cream cheese frosting I grew up with, and I did a cinnamon cream cheese. So it's just a little extra cinnamon in it, and they're amazing.
Oh my God, that sounds so good. All right, now tell us about Knock You Naked bars.
So this was one of the first recipes I ever made for my blog. And they are like a little sliver will go a long way. Is there a chocolate chip cookie bar pretty much? And then they have like a caramel inside of them.
Oh my God.
I remember testing them and my little brother was over who was single at the time. And he takes one bite and he's like, oh my gosh, I could marry these. Like I would marry these. And that was like always the story. Like I still remember the look on his face. He was,
That is so funny. Now, when I was a kid, it was, if you said, oh, I love my new shoes. Oh, why don't you, some smart ass kid would be like, well, why don't you marry them? I don't know if that was an expression when you were growing up, but it used to drive, like, you couldn't say you loved anything without somebody piping in and saying, that's really funny that he said. Now, of course, chocolate chip cookies are always the best. And tell us about yours.
So I didn't publish a chocolate chip cookie recipe for like 10 years because I think chocolate chip cookies are so personal almost. Like everyone like has their like, I want it chewy, I want it crispy on the edge, I want it thin, I want it flat. And it's like, oh, how do I like make one that like is like appealing to the masses?
Right.
So I like had this like all built up and I tested and I tested and this is the one I came up with. My daughter, who likes them crispy, likes them because they're crispy around the edges. And I, who like them thick and chewy, like it because they're like thick and chewy in the middle. That's the
perfect combination. Yes. How do you do that? Like, did you have to experiment with how much butter or how much this or how much that to get that consistency?
Yeah. Like, is it shortening? Is it butter? How much baking soda? And the leavening agents, like, do you chill them? I didn't want to chill them because that takes time and I don't want I'll eat all the cookie dough before it gets out to the pan. It's sitting there. So, it was just, hit and miss, try it, adjusted a little. We ate a lot of chocolate chip cookies.
Your kids must be so happy with what you do.
Well, some days they're like, will you ever make this again, Mom? I'm like, yeah, probably not. We're on to the next recipe.
Oh my gosh. Well, tell us about your fantastic popular food blog, Julie's Eats and Treats.
Yeah, so I say I am the grandma of food blogging. I started in 2010.
Oh, wow.
So it's been almost 14 years. So I have over 1,000 recipes on Julie's Eats and Treats, and it was all geared towards easy family-friendly recipes is like my main focus. Like, I want your kids to eat it. I don't want you to make 5 meals because everyone wants something different. Yeah, and I wanted to use like pantry staples. Don't go to like 5 different grocery stores to get all your ingredients.
Yes.
I live in a town of 5,000. We only have 1 grocery store. So if you can't get it there, you can't get it. And it was just, yeah, putting a resource in families' hands that will help them.
Right.
That's really what it's like built on.
That is so great. Well, it's so clear that you have a passion for what you do, and your book is beautiful, and I can't wait to jump in and make some more of the decadent recipes and just have some fun and invite some people over and their sweatpants. And
yes.
My best friend is very particular about how she dresses. I'll be like, "Honey, just come over." She's like, "Well, what should I wear?" I'm like, "We're watching Curb Your Enthusiasm, or we're just hanging out. You don't, who gives a..."
I know. I walked into my friend's house the other day and she's like, "I'm sorry, it's so messy." And I'm like, "We have been friends for 20 years. Like, if we're not even this yet, we got issues."
Exactly. Well, Julie, tell us all the ways people can find your fantastic book and your blog and your social media and all that good stuff.
So the book is for sale on Amazon, and you can just type in Julie's Eats and Treats and it will pop up. You can find me on Facebook, Julie's Eats and Treats, Instagram, TikTok, and at www.julieseatsandtreats.com.
Oh, Julie, this was so much fun. Thank you so much for coming on Health Power. Everybody keep coming back 5 days a week. Rate, review, subscribe, get Julie's book, and make some delicious and easy meals. Everybody, thanks so much.
Well, that's it for our show today. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you, and we would appreciate it if you could please rate and review and leave a comment, because the more you engage with our podcast, the more you will find it and help other people find it wherever they listen to their podcast. So be sure to follow us. I'm at Andrea Donsky and at Naturally Savvy, and Lisa
at Lisa Davis MPH.
Thank you so much. And please share this episode, because the more you share shows you care. We'll see you next time.